I am the one who knows what it is to be punished by God. He drove me deeper and deeper into darkness and beat me again and again with merciless blows. He's left my flesh open and raw and has broken my bones. He has shut me in a prison of misery and anguish. He has forced me to live in the stagnant darkness of death. He has bound me in chains. I am a prisoner with no hope of escape. I cry aloud for help, but God refuses to listen. I stagger as I walk. Stone walls block me wherever I turn. He waited for me like a bear. He pounced on me like a lion. He chased me off the road, tore me to pieces, and left me. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He shot his arrows deep into my body. People laugh at me all day long. I am a joke to them all. Bitter suffering is all he has given me for food and drink. He rubbed my face in the ground and broke my teeth on the gravel. I've forgotten what health and peace and happiness are. I have not much longer to live. My hope in the Lord is gone. The thought of my pain, my homelessness, is bitter poison. I think of it constantly, and my spirit is depressed. Cheerful words. And you might, if you didn't know, think there's somebody there who doesn't really know God very well. But actually it's the writer of the book of Lamentations who writes those words. We think probably Jeremiah. He was a man who at that moment in time, with the circumstances around him, was in the deepest despair. He was depressed, it tells us in verse 20 of Lamentations 3. He was in a really bad way. He was angry about life. He was angry with God. He was lonely. His heart, his mind were in turmoil. He was bitter. Life was against him. His friends were against him. He even thought God was against him. Even prayer didn't seem to help, because he felt that God had stopped listening to him. Verse 8 says, "Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer." There's a man who is really as low as it's possible to get, it would seem, from the way he describes how he thinks that God has been treating him. Sometimes I guess we can feel a bit like that, can't we? Maybe not to the extremes he talks about, or maybe we do. Sometimes life overwhelms us. The busyness of life, the pressures of life, we get tired, family causes us issues, our job uncertainties maybe, the fear of the future, maybe even loss of loved ones. These all are things that impact us. And sometimes it seems as though they come together at the same time. And it's just overwhelming. And we can kind of get into those words with a real understanding of what the writer was talking about. Because there are times in life when we feel that way. But if you've got your Bibles, you might like to find Lamentations, because he doesn't stop at the verses we just read. So if you've got your Bibles and want to find Lamentations, then that will be good. If not, then you can simply listen to my reading, because there's more. In the Good News Bible that I was reading from a moment ago, he ends in verse 20. "I think of it constantly," that's his pain, his homelessness, his bitter poison, "and my spirit is depressed." But then he says in verse 21, and now I'm reading from the New International Version, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." He deliberately reminds himself about some truths about God that he knows. And actually, I wrote down "the writer discovered," but more precisely, he reminded himself of these truths. And that's an important principle for us. When we go through the tough times of life, and I don't suppose there's a person in this room who hasn't been through something or another, and if you haven't yet, you will, because life is like that, that when life gets tough, we need to remember to use our minds. Paul writes in Romans, doesn't he? Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the mind is a really important part of who we are. And as we turn our minds, as we make this deliberate decision to say, I am going to remind myself of who God is and what he means to me and the things that he does for me, it's really important for us to use our mind as an act of the will to remind us about who God is. So what is it that he reminds himself of? Well, let's read on. Verse 22, he says, verse 21, this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. This is the same man who had been writing moments before that he was thoroughly depressed. And the depression hasn't necessarily gone away, but he has reminded himself that in the midst of all that he's facing, God's love is there for him. God's compassion is there for him. God is faithful in the everyday of life. His great love, verse 22, the first part of the verse, despite our failures, despite our weaknesses, despite of the things that I was talking to the children, and probably not just the children earlier with the toothpaste, you know, the times we get it wrong, despite that, we know that God loves us when we remind ourselves of that truth. And even when we do fail, we know that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, says John in his first epistle. And not only God's love, but God's compassion. His compassions never fail. Every day we know his compassion. I don't know what kind of a night you had last night. Did you have a good night's sleep? Did that extra hour do you a lot of good? Was it a bit of a rough night for some reason? But whatever last night was, whatever yesterday was, this morning his compassion for you is fresh. Do you see that? They are new every morning, he says in verse 23. God's love, God's compassion is new every morning. It's not yesterday's leftovers. Some of you might have a nice Sunday lunch today and there'll be some left over and you might eat it tomorrow and you'll enjoy that. But God doesn't do that with his love and compassion. It's not yesterday's leftovers that he thinks he might give us a little bit of today. But it's fresh for today. His love and his compassion is new for today. So whatever yesterday was, whatever last night was, this morning, as you woke, however you felt, his love and his compassion for you was new and fresh for today. And wonderfully, his faithfulness is there all of the time, never failing us. His faithfulness. You and I are often unfaithful, are we not? We let our friends down. We let our spouses down. We let our families down. There's all sorts of people that we don't always do the right thing, but that's never true of God. And it's so important, especially when we're in the middle of tough times, to remind ourselves that he is faithful and will not let us down. He will always be there. And then the last thing that I noted that the writer recognized as he called to mind and began to have hope. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Verse 24. God was all that he had and all that he needed. God was all that he had and all that he needed. And I know that it's easy to say those words, especially when you're a couple of feet above everybody else in the congregation. But tomorrow morning, in work or at home or at the shops, when you're talking to your neighbour, that truth is the same. God is all that we have and all that we need. And all the other things that come our way come because God is all that we have and all that we need. So if the hard times of life do anything, And maybe some of you this morning are finding the way a bit difficult. Maybe some of you can empathize with what Naomi was saying, that she had those 3 months where things just were not good. In fact, they were worse than not good, weren't they, Naomi? It was a really tough time for her. When you have those times, call to mind. Remind yourself of the love and the compassion and the faithfulness of God and the fact that He is all you ever will need. Of course, problems in life can do one of two things, can't they? They'll either make us better because we turn to God in them, or they'll make us bitter because we turn away from God and we simply get angry with Him. Now, the writer here, he expressed very clearly his thoughts about God, but then he reminded himself that actually in the middle of all that, God was there for him. Of course, our faith is not some kind of triumphant or easy faith, is it? It's a faith hewn out of the rock of tough times, usually. But in those times, we remind ourselves that God is present with us. This year at Hillview, the church that I'm part of in Gloucester, we've had 8 people diagnosed with cancer and various kinds of cancer. All of it treatable, for which we're thankful, but some of it was very serious. And it's been really tough as a church in that sense, and certainly tough for the people involved and their loved ones. But there's been a very real sense in which, in the middle of all of that, God has been significantly at work amongst us as a fellowship of God's people, because what's happened is that it's drawn us even closer together in care and love for each other, and that is one of the ways that God expresses His love and His compassion and His faithfulness through His people. So, even in the tough times, God works things out in ways that ultimately are for our blessing. And they become even more of our blessing if we look to Him and allow Him to work it out rather than struggling with it. So I wonder, where is your hope this morning? Where is your hope? Because that's what the writer talks about. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Is your hope in God? Or is your hope a kind of a, well, I hope things get better soon kind of hope? There are lots of people in this world who think that. There are some Christians who think that, who just hope things will get better. Because actually our hope ought to be in God, in who He is and all that He means to us. And it's my prayer that it will be for you. Jürgen Moltmann, who is a theologian, I don't know much about him, if I'm perfectly honest, but I have a book at home, which is called Where is God When It Hurts by Philip Yancey. Some of you may have read it. And he writes this. In his book Experience of God, the theologian Jürgen Moltmann tells how hope kept him alive in a camp. Captured as a German war prisoner, he was shuffled among prisons in Belgium, Scotland and England. And beside the normal hardships of prison life, he also had to deal with the despair that came from seeing his nation go down to defeat and learning of atrocities that had been committed in Germany's name. I saw how other men collapsed inwardly, how they gave up all hope, sickening for the lack of it, some of them dying. The same thing almost happened to me. What kept me from it was a rebirth to new life, thanks to a hope for which there was no evidence at all. That hope for Moltmann was a Christian hope. He had taken 2 books with him to war, Goethe's poems and the works of Nietzsche. Neither of them gave him any comfort, which is not surprising. After experiencing the death of all the mainstays that had sustained his life up till then, he turned to a New Testament given him by a well-meaning army chaplain. The Psalms, printed at the back of an appendix, opened his eyes to the God who is with those that are of broken hearts. After his release in 1948, Moltmann abandoned his field of physics and went on to become a leading theologian, known best for his groundbreaking book, The Theology of Hope. I think I might argue with him when he says there's thanks to hope for which there was no evidence at all, but who am I to argue with a theologian? But I think I might. I think there is evidence all around us of what God is doing. And it's my prayer that you might know that real hope as we wait on the Lord in the midst of whatever circumstances we might be facing in these days. Let's pray together, and then we've got a song and then a brief prayer as we conclude. Let's take a moment to respond in your own heart to what you've heard this morning from Bridget, from Naomi, and from God's word. I'll pray. Just take a moment to reflect and to respond. Lord, thank you that your love and your compassion are indeed new every morning. Thank you that you are faithful to us even when we are not always faithful to you. Thank you that you are all that we need and all that we will ever need. And help us, we pray, to be those who turn their eyes to you, to put hope in you, in the midst of whatever circumstances we might be facing, to rejoice in those many good times that we have, and to trust you in those times which are tough and difficult. Thank you for your word, which brings comfort and hope and reassurance. Be glorified in our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just remain seated and quietly